Okay, everybody, side. Today's daf is daf Nun Zayin. We're holding the last two lines of Nun Vav Amid Beis, where the Gemara quotes from our Mishnah. You'll recall that we had in the Mishnah yesterday. In fact, the Mishnah is here the top of the Amud. So you have the same two lines repeated twice, once on top, once on the bottom. A person bought a home, and he had 3 years of chazaka with Edom. The Edom, however, weren't your regular, typical Edom. In which respect were they different? Said the Mishnah, Shloisha Achim. You had three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and the Echon Mitztarfi Mohen. And you had 3 years straight. Tufshin Pei Aleph, Tufshin Pei Beis, Tufshin Pei Gimel. In year one, you had Reuven and Yankel. In year two, you had Shimon and Yankel. In year three, you had Levi and Yankel. So Kedai Techamina, how can you go and build a chazaka based on the Eidus of three brothers? Kroivim, of course, are possibly Eidus. So how does that work? Says the Mishnah, no. Hari Elu Sholosh Idiyas. We deem them to be three separate Idiyas. In other words, year one, we had Reuven and Yankel. Reuven and Yankel are unrelated, so that was a perfect Eidus. Year two was Shimon and Yankel. Again, Shimon and Yankel are unrelated, that's perfect. And third year was Levi and Yankel. So there are three perfect Eidus in. And when it comes to Din of Chazaka, they're one Eidus combined, as well as, says the Mishnah Legabe in Yonei Hazama. You remember we discussed Hazama yesterday. What happens if a fourth pair of Edom come now and say about the earlier three pairs of Edom, Imanu Hayisim, you were together with us in Chicago. If they're Mazim, all of them, then all of them will have to contribute towards paying back the original owner of the property, giving him back the value of the property, because the first three pairs had all been made on behalf of the intruder who was there for 3 years. But he wasn't there for 3 years, because his whole Eidus was baloney. The Eidim and Mazimim say, how do you know whether he was there or not? After all, Imanu Hayisim, you were together with us in Chicago. So that was what we learned in the Mishnah. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is obvious, that even though the input into the final product was based on Kroivim, three brothers, nevertheless, it's not a problem, because each one was an Eidus Bifnei Atzmai. Year one was one, year two was two, year three was year, and then that's fine. So based on this, the Gemara tells us now a story where we are going to try to be Medama Milza LeMilza, see whether this is a sufficient parallel. So Gemara tells us the following. Who shtar? There was a shtar. We're on top of Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. Two people had signed on the shtar. Welcome aboard, Brother Shai. We just started Nun Zayin Amud Aleph at the top. Nun Zayin, 57a. So there was a shtar that had a chasim ale beitrei. Two Edom were signed on the shtar, like normal. And now it comes the maturity date of the loan, and the malva wants to collect from the loiva, and the loiva says, how do you know that this shtar is a kosher shtar? Maybe it's counterfeit. So the malva says, I'll get a henpik. And he goes to Bezdin that they should go and notarize the document that it is kosher. Now the Bezdin can't do it on its own. You have to have Eidus. So Rishbam explains the normal elementary hilchois, chasimois and kiyum chasimois ashtar, that if both Edom are alive, then the both, and they're available, both Edom come into Bezdin, and each one says, yo, this is my chasima. The other one says, yo, this is my chasima. And the Bezdin doesn't need anything more than that. We don't need two Edus on each chasima. Each chasima alone, the chosem says, that's my chasima. And so says the second one, it's my chasima. That's enough. And the Rishbam tells us, why, Taka, don't you need like every Eidus, you always need our Pishnayim Edom Yakum Dover. Why don't we say over here too, that you should have to have two Edom on each Chasima? Zokt Rishbam, the reason is because if each Eid himself is testifying as to his own Chasima, it's as if he is now being made Lemona Shebishtar. In other words, it's as if these two Edom come into Beis Din, and we ask them, do you remember the original loan? Sure. What do you remember? Exactly as reflected in the Shtar, that Reuven lent money to Shimon, and Shimon owes money to Reuven. So it's not so much that they have to go and be Mekayim the Chasima. When they're Mekayim the Chasima, they'll be Mekayim the original Eidus. And therefore, it's as if these two people that signed, it's as if Kemisha Nechra Eidusim Bebez, and as if they're standing up and saying, Rabbi Yisai, whatever it says in the Shtar is Emes V'yatzev V'nochem V'kayim V'yosha. So I have to aid them, not only onto the Chasimis, but onto the whole transaction that they are made. Now that's if both Edom are still alive and everything is great. What happens if Chas HaSholom, one of the two Edom passed away? So, the one Ed that is surviving, he can of course be made on his own Chasima and say, yo, that was me, I wrote it, I signed it, sure, I remember, etc. What do we do with the other Chasima? So you have to have two Edom on the other Chasima, like anytime you need two Edus. Alright, so get Yankel and Beryl from the street that will say, yo, this is the Chasima of the first Eid, the one that passed away. That's perfect. What happens, however, if you don't have two other Edom, but rather the surviving Eid says, you know what, I'm around, I remember distinctly when we both signed, and I can be made on that Chasima, yo, that was my Chaver that signed together with me. Unfortunately, he passed away, but I can tell everybody, yeah, I recognize the signature, and I was there, yeah. And then just bring one more aid from the street that says, I recognize the signature, and l'chayre, everything is dandy. However, the Rishbam brings from other Gemaras, which we are all familiar with, that under those circumstances, that does not work. Why doesn't it work? The Gemara uses the expression, nafik nechiriva dimamoina apuma dechat, which means that one aid will now accomplish 3/4 instead of 50%. When you have two aidim, each aid provides 50% of the aidus. Reuven says, I saw the original loan, that's 50%. Shimon says, I saw the loan, that's the other 50%. So each one says 50% of the aidus. However, in our situation, if we're going to allow the surviving aid, let's call him Shimon, be made on his own Chasima, so that's already 50% of what we need to accomplish. If he is now going to go with Yankel and testify as to the veracity, the authenticity of Reuven's signature, so then he's doing 3/4, so to speak. On his 50%, he's the only guy. With respect to the other 50%, in other words, the other aid that never passed away, on that Chasima, if he is being made together with somebody else, then 3/4 of the kiyum of the shtar is al pi eid echad, and that's no good. Because al pi shnayim eidim yakum davar means each one has to go and say 50%, the two 50% together are 100%. In this case, however, if the surviving aid is saying aid is on both his own and the other, then 75% is through him, 25% is through somebody else, and that doesn't work. So that's the basics in terms of the elementary law. Over here, it's slightly different, because we're talking about that, again, the surviving aid testifies as to his own, and then he says, well, I know the halacha, I've learned the Gemara many times, that I cannot go be made on the other aid that never passed away, but my brother knew that aid very well, and he saw him sign many times. He knows the facts, and then they'll bring somebody else from the street who also knew that other aid and his chasima, and this way we'll have 50% based on the surviving aid, and 25% based on the brother of the surviving aid, and another 25% afremda, a stranger, and Sholem Yisrael. That's what the Gemara assumed works. Are you going to tell me, 1 second, but now we have two brothers that are being made on this kiyum? Yeah, but in our Mishnah we also had three brothers that were being made vis-a-vis the 3 years of Chazakah. So maybe just like the 3 years, three brothers works, maybe over here the kiyum of the Chasim is two brothers work. And those are the dimensions of our Gemara. So let's see the Gemara. I see Barry already looking at me saying that there's a difference between the two cases, and the Gemara, in fact, will distinguish between the two momentarily. So again, starting from the top, who started to have a chasim alei beitre, a shtar that was signed by two witnesses. Shachav chal binayo, unfortunately one of the two passed away. Osa achva dehai dekoi, the brother of the surviving aide, came into Besdin. V'chad achrina, and a fremda, fremda means a stranger. Lahasude achasim es yode deidach, to go and say edis on Nebuch, the deceased aide. So we have 50% based on the surviving aide testifies about his own chasima, which is perfect. And on the second chasima, you have the brother of the surviving aide together with a stranger. They're being made. So Ravina Lemaimus, Ravina initially thought, Haina Masnisa dosunz Ramishna, the Gimel Achim Yechem Itzarfi Moen. That just like in the case of our Mishnah, we need to establish a chazakah of 3 years, and the 3 year chazakah is based on testimony of 3 brothers, 1 brother per year. So here too, to go and give a hempik on the shtar, we need edis on both chasimas. On one chasima, we have the surviving witness, that's fine. And on the other one, it's a separate entity, if you will, like this. Each of the 3 years is a separate year. Here's a separate chasima. On that, we have the brother of the surviving witness, and we have a stranger, so that should work, says Ravina. Ravashi says, no, it was a good try, Ravina, but I respectfully disagree. In that case, meaning the case of the Mishnah, you don't have a case of 3 quarters coming out based on brothers. In our case, you have 3 quarters of the edus coming out on the basis of brothers. So what does the Gemara mean with that? So Rishvam says something very, very fascinating. And he says that whenever we find throughout Shas that Kroivim are possibly edus, you know why they are posel. The svara behind it is that the Torah looks upon kroivim as being merged into one. When you have 2 brothers, don't look upon it as each one is qualified to say edus together with the other brother. No, because they are kroivim, we are mekarev them, we glue the two together, and their 2 voices have the status like 1 voice altogether. If you want to just take a quick look at the Rishbam, where he says this, it's about 2, 4, 6 lines into the wide lines, 6 lines into the wide lines, towards the end of the line, the tam, the posel rachmana kroivim, be edis achas. You know why they're posel? If ishein chashuvim, elekish echad. Because you merge the 2 or the 3 or whatever number of brothers, and you put them all, they're all considered to be 1. No, since you have to be al pishnayim edim yakum davar, if you have 2 brothers, it's only 1, you still need another 1. Therefore, continues the Rajvam. That's fine. We merge together Reuven, Shimon, and Levi of the 3 years. It's not like Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. It's like Reuven, Reuven, and Reuven. We merge the 3. Okay, so Reuven is saying now on each of the 3 years, and now I have the other person, Shari Ish. Now I have a friend, a stranger that is together with Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, or now together with the 3 Reuvens on the 3 years, is Moel Vishlashtan, Imro HaChazaka Sholishonim. So then the Chazaka works very, very well. So now I understand, says Rav Ashi Pshat in our Mishnah. The reason why we allow for the 3 brothers is because Taka Kroivim are possibly Edis. But it's not that the psul undermines everything. It just means that you have to merge them. Merge Reuven, Shimon, and Levi and make 1 Reuven out of it. So now it's as if Reuven testified on all 3 years. That's fine. And then you have somebody else all testifying all 3 years. Yankel. Reuven and Yankel in year 1. Reuven and Yankel in year 2. Reuven and Yankel in year 3. That's perfect. There's nothing wrong with that. That's why it's kosher. However, in our case, when we're going to merge the surviving witness together with his brother, if we deem them as 1, then we're back to the 75%, 25% problem that the surviving witness through himself and his brother, who are merged into one, are now being made as to both chasimas, 75%. He is taking 50% directly, 25% through his sibling who's merged into him, and then you have that stranger who's the other 25%. That's why Rav Ashi says, that you don't have the problem of the 75 and the 25 in our Mishnah, because you merge Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and therefore he's doing 50%, and the other 8 is 50%. Wonderful. But in our case, when you're merging the two Edom for henpik purposes, by merging the two brothers into one, now one individual with two heads, it's almost like Siamese twins, that he has two heads, both personally he is made as to 50%, the other head, the brothers made as to the other 25, that's 75%, the stranger 25, and therefore the comparison that Ravinim wanted to make does not work. And it will not, we'll have to have two separate Edim on the other Chasima that are not related to the surviving Ed. On to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah and the Gemara are quite straightforward. What our Mishnah tells us is, not all usage of a property for 3 years creates a chazakah. It's got to be things like we've discussed in the past. Even though there's a fundamental difference between cheskas raya and cheskas kinyan, however, there's also a major similarity. And that is that the way that you're koine the cheskas kinyan, like no'al godar uparutz, or like the Gemara says, rofak beporta, that he made makush echad, you can use those same ways and mechanics to go and be koina the 3 years as well. But something that is not going to work for cheskas kinyan is not going to work l'choira for cheskas raya. That's the import of the Mishnah, but you'll see shortly in the Gemara, it's not that simple. But let's start the Mishnah. Eilu dvarim sheyesh lem chazaka, eilu dvarim she'ein lem chazaka. The following actions that you use in a property for 3 years, some of them work to make a chazaka, some of them do not. And as the Mishnah often does, we first explain the second Eilu Dvarim first. Right? You remember Gemara Masechta Shabbos at the very beginning says that sometimes we are masbir the first klal, sometimes the second klal. And you remember the Gemara says it's lav davka, sometimes a hin, sometimes a her. There's no 1,000% rule. So in our case, we're going through the Ein Lehen Chazaka first. And the principle of all those that we enumerate now in the Mishnah is that none of them are a dover that we are koveya or mechaber to the ground. They are all, if you will, metalklin and things that you can easily remove. And therefore, they do not establish a chazaka. So you mamid behema b'chotzer. You have a joint chotzer, and someone goes and brings a behema and parks it in the chotzer from time to time. And or he parks a taner rechaim or kirayim. Taner and kirayim are basically the same. Taner is a little bit larger, kirayim a little bit smaller. In other words, a portable stove or oven. Rechaim is a portable mill that you use to go and grind tvua. Or you megadol tarni goylim, or you bring in a couple of chickens to go and have them grow, and you park them there also in the chotzer. Or you noisen zivloi bechotzer, a person has a whole bunch of manure and fertilizer, and he parks it in a chotzer. All of these things ain't a chazaka. Why are they not a chazaka? Says Rishbam, because since none of them are nailed to the ground, they're all metalklin, a person could say, okay, if he wants to go and park his animal, that's fine, I have no animals to park there, and if and when I get an animal, we'll worry about it then. But in the meantime, if he wants to use my parking space in this chotzer, sure, that's fine. Rishbam says, but after 4 or 5 years, he may decide, shingenuk, now I want to go and park. This person now has become a person of means, and now he also bought a behemoth for parking, and he wants to use it for his parking space. Don't take away my parking space. Or he wants to be able to navigate easily from the store to his home, and not each time have to go around the other guy's taner, kiraim, etc. He can say, until now I let it, but please, take it out. So he has that, right? It's ein chazaka. The fact that he was not moicha is because people typically are not moicha on things like this, since at least they leave the illusion of being only a temporary situation, since he doesn't nail it to the ground. However, avul osa machitzel behemtoy gavoy asor etvachim b'chein letana b'chein lekarayim b'chein lerechayim. What happens if it's not just he brought in his behemoth and he parked it there, or letana kirayim lerechayim? He wanted to make sure that nobody disturbs it and nobody takes it away. So he built partitions, which he now nailed to the ground. Ooh, that's a different story. Or hichnis tanigoyim l'teich habayis. He didn't just bring tanigoyim into the chotzer, but he brought it into the other guy's house. You can well imagine that the other person is not going to stand for the tanigoyim making the noise and making the wonderful stench that the chickens when they have to use the facilities and don't know how to go to the Beis HaKisei, you know, there can be a terrible stench emitted by a chicken coop, etc. V'yosem mokum lezivloi. He didn't just pile on the zevel onto the chotzer's grounds, but he made a mokum. Or mekshloisha, he dug a ditch 3 tvachim deep. Or yigavoye shloisha, or he made a mound of 3 tvachim tall. Harizu chazaka, that is a chazaka, because then the Bnei Chotzer go, hey, who are you to start building machitzos in this Chotzer? Come on, get out of here, mister. What's going on over here? We'll see in the Gemara. Rishbam already says now that the Havamina is that this person who's doing it in the Chotzer is not from the Bnei Chotzer, but he happens to be a person from the outside who decided, hey, this is a convenient place for me to go and park my animal, to go and park my stove and my oven and things of that nature. Mister, he has no business being in this chotzer. In the Reisha it says, if he uses the chotzer without bolting anything into the ground, it's all metalkalin, that's okay, and he does not establish a chazaka. Even if he's there for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, als kunish mit kunish. But once he puts up a machitza, that's already a different story. Remember that a machitza is reminiscent of no'al godar uporat, putting up a geder. You remember the Gemara said before, the geder doesn't have to be that he built a full fence. Even if it was, let's say, 9.5 tvach, and he was moisef, and he made it into 10 tvach, here he's building a partition, a room and a room. Oh, that's already a different story. So now, the key to the chilik between the Reish and the Sefer, says the Rishbam, number one, these were all not bekfias, they were all temporary. And number two, the kvias means that you actually do something to the karka itself, like the no'al godu parat or the rofik paporta, that you're digging into the ground. In the Reish, he didn't dig anything into the ground. Everything is just above the ground. He didn't do anything in the karka or the gufa karka atzma. And therefore, that's why the Sefer says, that's why the Reish says it's ein chazak. Okay, on the surface, the Mishnah is very simple. However, Zokti Gemara, I don't understand. Maishna Reisha or Maishna Sefer. Why should there be a difference between the Reisha and the Sefer? Why in the Reisha, when I say Hamodas Behema, without a Machitza, it's not a Chazaka? But if I do make a Machitza, it is a Chazaka. And says the Rishvan, what's the Kasha we just explained? This is temporary, this is fixed into the ground. He says the Rishvan, in the Havamina, we assumed that the person who was doing all of this is Einoi Bar Chotzer Zu. He is not a member of the Chotzer. If he's not a member of the Chotzer, says Rishbam, it's a Dova Pasha that the Bnei Chotzer will be matbid on a stranger coming into their Chotzer. If you have 5 people that share the same courtyard, and each one of them uses the Chotzer for their individual purposes, this one parks an animal, this one parks a scooter, and this one parks his bicycle, and this one parks his Tesla. Okay, everybody uses a parking space. That's fine. I can understand that. However, that a stranger comes from the outside and he decides to park his car there, mister, you have your own mavo, you have your own chotzer. Go to your own chotzer. You don't have room in your chotzer? Then buy a piece of real estate in our chotzer or wherever you want. But you can't go as a stranger and park your cars, park your animals, your stoves, your ovens in our property. Come on, what's going on over here? So, l'choira, in the Reisha, if a friend, a stranger, brings in his animal, and people are not mocha, then l'choira, after 3 years, I would say, it is a chazaka. because why would anyone allow a stranger to park his behemoth there? It must be that he made some sort of arrangement with them. He pays them, he gave them a monthly fee, he bought the parking spot there in the... There's a relatively new apartment house on the west side, on the corner of 86th and West End. I say relatively new, it's probably been there already 5, 6 years, maybe 10 years. So I remember when they built it, they have an indoor garage. So I was considering maybe we can go and buy one of the parking spaces in the garage, or maybe rent it or whatever. It'll be easier than having to find a parking space on the street. Maybe it'll be cheaper than having to go and rent a place in one of the commercial garages. So we spoke to them, and I think they were asking at the time, I think, $400,000 or $500,000 to buy a parking spot in the garage. $400,000, $500,000. Maybe you could buy it. I think you may be buying an apartment for that, but not buying a parking spot for $400,000 or $500,000. Anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is that a male is someone who lives in the house, presumably they also have to pay a certain amount, I assume a discounted amount, or maybe they have to pay a monthly maintenance fee for having a parking spot. But a stranger that comes in, they're not going to allow a person to come in unless you pay for it. So if somebody is a stranger to the chotzer, and he's parking his animal there for 3 years, presumably he's paying some sort of fee, or he bought the right to go and park his animal there. Otherwise, who would allow you to go and park an animal for 3 years straight? So therefore, for Eitimar, what difference does it make? Yom mechitza, nish mechitza. If he's a friend, if he's a stranger, it should make no difference. He should have a chazaka after 3 years. So Amar Ula, Ula says, I'll explain. Kol she'ilu b'nechzi ager, kona. B'nechzi chaveiroi, kona. Kol she'ilu b'nechzi ager, loy kona. B'nechzi chaveiroi, loy kona. What Ula is telling us is, even though there is a fundamental difference between Cheskes Raya and Cheskas Kinyan, Cheskes Raya is a 3-year process, and Cheskas Kinyan is Noel Godu Paretz Koshu. In 10 seconds, he made his Cheskas Kinyan. However, there is a major similarity to the two, and that is whatever constitutes a Chazaka for purposes of being Koine B'Nechzi Ager. The Gemara, when it uses the expression Nechzi Ager, is Lav Davka Nechzi Ager. It means any cheskas kinyan. The reason why it chaps on always nechzi ager is because we want to say to the exclusion of kesef and shtar. Since the ger by definition has passed away, that's why you're able to be koina his nechosim. You cannot be koina nechosim through giving money. Who are you going to give the money to? So you're going to say, well, the ger has yorshim, he has children. If that's the case, it's not hefker. You have no business being in that property. It belongs to the yorshim. Elamai, we're talking about a ger that passed away without any yarshim. So who are you going to pay the money to? And who are you going to write out a shtar with? There's no one, there's no other second party. But by a regular, if it wasn't nechzi a ger, there was a mocher and a lokeach, then of course you have other options you can do, kesef and shtar. So anyway, so it says, Ula, kol she'ilu b'nechzi a ger kon. How are you koine b'nechzi a ger? So we learned in the Mishnah back on Mem Beis Omer Aleph, all the way in the bottom line, Noel Godu Uparetz Koshu Harizu Chazaka. Ah, so just like Noel Godu Uparetz, you're doing something big of a karka. But the same thing applies. Nechzi Averoi, if you did something big of a karka. So just bringing in your animal that's on top of the surface, that doesn't go into the gufa karka. What is a gufa karka? If I make a mechitza, I bolt it into the ground, or I make some sort of foundation for the mechitza. Oh, that's a different story. Listen, then I'm working in the karka atzma. Oh, so that's the difference between the reisha and the seifa. Frightening. In other words, the reisha is, since by the reisha kol she'ilu, we're going in reverse, the second part of Ula. Kol she'ilu b'nichzi ager loy kana. What happens if a ger passed away and I wanted to be koina his property, so I park my animal on his property? You can park the animal there for 150 years. Loy kana. Because he didn't do anything in the Gufakak. So that's why it's not going to help for purposes of Cheskes Raya either. Even if the behemoth was there for 50 years, so it's Gornish health. On the other hand, the first part of Ula, Kosh Ilu Menechse Ger Kona, oh, Noal Godar Uparatz, you put up a shtickle gether, not a full gether, Abisala, that's already Koina. Here too, if you made a machitza, that's your Koina. So that's a different ratio and safe. Matzkul Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said, Ula, what you just explained, is beautiful. Uklolahu, but is it really a full encompassing klal that whatever works by Cheskes Raya works by Cheskes Kinyan, and by Cheskes Kinyan works by Cheskes Raya? I'll show you that that's not the case. Near means that you just plowed the field. And you recall back on Lamed Vov and Medbeis, we had a machloikis, and apparently our Gemara is coming out that near means that if you just plowed a field, even if you plowed it beautifully for a whole year, back and forth, up and down, but you didn't plant anything that year, loy havi chazaka, it doesn't work. And therefore, you have near, demenichsi hager, however, it is kona, if you did a noal godu parats koshu, and even rofak baporta. Remember the Gemara said a makush. Makush means a little hoeing, a little digging. Remember we had a machloikis Rav and Shmuel. Rav says you're koina the entire property. Shmuel says only their bisila. But kuli al moida, that is a form of acquisition when you do a little bit of digging, when you're digging into the ground. Near, you're not just doing a little bit of digging, you're digging near and far. The entire property you're digging. You're doing a charisha with plows and with oxen and a taganza maisa. So you see that legabe nechsia ger near is kona. Even a miniature, mini near of just plowing with your shovel, digging it into the ground. But even 3 full years of near. Loikon. So you see the two don't work together. And similarly, Variachilas Peirois, the Menichse Chabeiroi, Kona, we started off our Perek, Chesk Zabatim. How are you, Kona? 3 years that you planted and you sowed and you fertilized and you irrigated, and at the end you harvested. And that's why we remember we had in the Mishnah, said Rabbi Shmuel, if you're talking about an orchard, Kona says, Tvuasai, Mosak as Zaysav, Godar as, etc. What was the third one? He had a kerem, he had a betziras a kerem, and he had the olives, and he had the dates. And if he took in all of those over, it didn't even have to be a 3 year period. Said Rabbi Yishmael, you can have even in a 1 year period, as long as you harvested all of the grapes, then you harvested all of the olives, and you harvested all of the dates, and then you already have a full chazak. So you see, achilas peiros is the key, because that's the original owner would be upset someone taking the net income from his property and collecting and harvesting the payers. So achilas payers, b'nechse chaver, that's definitely skana. But b'nechse yager leikana. If you go over to nechse yager, never the ger passed away, and shortly thereafter, at that time, it was harvest season, and I collect together all of the dates and all of the figs and all the rest, just a gunish mit gunish. You have to do a noal godu uparat. Ezach vayt aray says Rav Sheshes to Ula, the two are not the same the way you presented it. And therefore, says the Gemara now, a series of tirutzim, why in the ratio we said ein chazaka, and in the seifa, yesh chazaka. Elom Rav Nachman Amar Bavua Hocha, we're not talking about a stranger, Hocha b'chotzera shutfim askinan. Oh, we're talking about that the person that was parking his animal and his oven and stove, he was one of the shutfim in the chotzer. Shutfim doesn't mean like a partnership that two people own a business. It would mean these, all the common apartment or residence dwellers around this chotzer. This chotzer, this common courtyard, maybe had, let's say, 5 houses. They're all considered to be shutfim in this chotzer because they all have the right to use the chotzer. And therefore, if any one of the 5 decides to go and park his car, his bicycle, his animal there, the others are not going to meet makbid because they have the same right. You know, all of them have the same right to do the same things. Amachitza, but once he puts it amachitza kapti, that's already a different story. You don't have a right to go and put up a permanent structure, although you have rights to use and utilize this chutzah like everybody else. So from time to time, I'm going to bring my behemoth, you'll bring your behemoth. From time to time, I'll park over there some other stuff, like my stove, my oven, my mill. You can do the same. Everybody has the right to use the chotzer shutfin for, you know, common purposes. That's not a problem. But once you put up a mchitza, permanent structure, that means you are allocating 1/5 of the chotzer for yourself. No, you have no right to do that. This is common chotzer, belongs to everybody. Okay, so that's a very nice teretz. It's a chilu between the Reish and the Sefer. But Freiti Mora, is that really true? Uba moda kedi lekapti? Are you telling me that shutfim are not makpid if you just do hamoda without a machitza? Vatanan, didn't we learn? Back in Mesechtes Nedarim, hashutfim shenodru hanoa zemize asur mikonis lechotzer. What happens if you have two shutfim that unfortunately are no longer on speaking terms? They are now officially at loggerheads and are constantly saying bad things about the other guy, Nebuch. And they even noida hanoza mize. Reuven says to Shimon, I don't want you to have any more hanoa from me, period. I don't want to talk to you, I don't want to look at you. Blah, 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 blah. So he was noida hanoza mize. As soon as the kodesh lechotzer, even though the chotzer belongs 20% to him, because five people in the chotzer, everybody has the same right, they can no longer go in the chotzer because the other guy is machbid, I don't want you standing in my chatzar. Now, even though he has a right to stand in the chatzar because it's also his chatzar, but that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that if the shutfim anoida hanoa zemizeh, then whoever is the subject of that neder, both of them are noida against each other, Reuven against Shimon and Shimon against Reuven, Reuven and Shimon will never be able to use the chatzar. They won't be able to go even and walk in the chatzar. You're now at have enough from me, and this chotzer belongs to me. Don't walk on my property. It's my property too. Mazel tov, but it's also my property. Don't walk on it. So you see from that Mishnah very clearly that not only Hamad is behemoth, even just walking through the right of entry, the right of exit through that chotzer is prohibited. So in Bazoi, Vaiter Nar Mishnah, even though there should fim, there is this hakpada. Why do you allow him to be mamed the behemah in the chutz? Elam Rav Nachman Amar Ravua hocha berochpa shel achire bata maskinan. Mamed kedei loy kapti. Whenever we talk about a chutzer aboisai, we're really talking about what we would say in English is a front lawn in front of the buildings, and that of course is very understandable because the common chutzer, the common courtyard, was where people entered into their houses, into their dwellings, and they brought along their animals and their groceries and any deliveries, and all of that was for some time, temporarily, whatever, in the common chotzer. But you also have what's the backyard. The backyard, the Gemara calls a rochva sh'achoyri habatim. Rochva sh'achoyri habatim says the Gemara, mamad k'di lekat, that people are not makbiran. Why they're not makbiran? Because, after all, when your guests come to visit your home, if you see in the chotzer things that will cause your guests to cringe, right? They're coming into you, invite them to come to you for a meal or whatever on Shabbos, and then they, as they're coming into the chotzer, they see a bunch of dogs and cats and other things. You know, we on the west side are kind of used to, at least most of us are used to dogs. When I have some of my nephews or nieces, or even sometimes my sister-in-law comes from Brooklyn, they see a dog, they immediately cross to the other side of the street, and they get, you know, chil ura oda yoychezen. Who knows what's going to happen? This dog, oh, yoy, get out. So, the point of all of this is that in the chotzer, people are makpid, even on hamodas behemois, because they can be an eyesore, because people will be distracted, will be upset, whatever. But if you put it in the backyard, nobody sees it. Nobody knows what's going on in the backyard. So that's why people are not concerned about Hamadah. So that's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about not a chotzer in front of the house. It's talking about a rochba in back of the house. And that's why in the Reish, it's not a chazaka. Who cares what you do in the backyard? You can do, put your animals there, put your ovens, put your whatever you want. It doesn't bother anybody. However, he put a machitza. That's already a chutzpah. You want to go and take some of this and allocate and make a structure there. That I would never allow. Okay, so that's the first pshat in our Mishnah. We have another pshat. No, idib chutzra shutfim. We're really talking about the front lawn, the chutzra shutfim, the common courtyard. You asked the kasha. In our Mishnah, it sounds like how other people are not makbid. But in Maseches Nedarim it says Shutfim Shenodru Hanoa Zemizeh. Then the people are not only makbid in Hamada, they're even makbid on just walking into the chotzer. So how does that stem? Zokra Papa. After all, there are two types of people in this world. There are people ikka de kapti ve ikka de loy kapti. There's some people that are makpid, even kechutas sara. Hey, why are you sitting in my place? Right, a person sits, he has his place in shul, and somebody who doesn't know, a stranger comes into shul, he sits over, hey, that's my mokum kavua, you gotta move on. And then you have people like Brother Shai, that if a person comes to his mokum kavua, he embraces him, thank you for using my mokum kavua. I'm so happy that you're able to use my seat. I'll be happy to move into the next shul, not the other shul, chas v'shalom, but I'll move over to the next row, no problem whatsoever. So you have two different types of people, the makpid types and the ena makpid types, and that's pretty, unfortunately, that's what the society is all about. So, what's the answer now? Says you might have got me, when you're talking about mamin in our Mishnah, then the Chum said, we're going to be mekel. Gabi sura lechumra. Now, what does it mean that by mamin we're going to be mekel? Since we have a whole bunch of shutfim, and I don't know whether these shutfim around this common courtyard are the makbet type or not the makbet type, we are going to assume that they are not the makbet type, and they're nice, easygoing Brother Shai's, Brother Barry's, Brother David's, Brother Shelley, Brother Chesky, and people of that type, all nice brotherly brotherhood, you know, right, liberty, fraternity, and brotherhood, and all those wonderful things. And therefore, we will assume that people are not makbid. You can go and put your behemoth there, you can go and put your oven and your stove there, just don't build a machitza. But otherwise, everything is fine. And that's why our Mishnah says in the Reisha, we will assume that everybody has a good nature, and you can do it no problem. And if you do it for 3 years, and the other guy didn't protest, you know why he didn't protest? Because he's a nice guy, that's why he didn't protest. But not because he is maskim that you should make a chazaka. No, no, leave your animals there, fine. But certainly I'm not, the absence of machor does not indicate a chazaka. On the other hand, you ask me the gabi, the other case, of the two people that are makbid, the shutfim shenodru hanoa zemizeh, if they're noid hanoa zemizeh, obviously they're makbid on each other. Because if they wouldn't be makbid, why are they being noid hanoa? Oh, they're makbid on each other. Then even hamada would be prohibited, and even walking into the chatzar would be prohibited. So that's pshat number two. As God my mind, lekul legabi sura l'chomer. Number three, Ravina Omar, le'oilam lo'ikapti. Nah, all of the people in our Mishnah, both our Mishnah here and the Mishnah Maseches Nedarim, general, normal, regular people are not makbid. Of course, we don't mean they're not makbid on anything. We're talking about not makbid on temporary usage such as parking animals, parking stoves, parking your millstone. Nah, people are not makbid. Aye, what about that Mishnah that says shutfim shenodra no zemizeh asur likoneis? For Mari Reb Lezi, that's Reb Lezi. The son of Reb Lezi, Oimer, a filaviter oser b'mudr hanor. What means a filaviter oser? So Rishbam explains. What happens if you go to your neighborhood grocery store and you bought a 100 nuts for, Rishbam says, for a pruta. Today we would say for a dollar or whatever nuts cost. And so the chenveni goes and counts out the 100 and sometimes he'll throw in an extra one and it'll make it 101. After all, ein adome mea pa'amim le mea pa'amim vi echad. As well as the 101 has special significance. For instance, the Novi Malachi, Mem Lamed Aleph Chof Yud, is the gematria 101. So you have the Malach and you add a Yud and you get your 101. Okay, anyway, getting back to our Gemara, the point is, that's what's called vitor, that the grocer, too, perhaps he does it, you know, because he's friendly, or perhaps he's doing it as a marketing tactic, that he throws in that extra one, and then the customer will go home and tell his wife, Sprintzi, you'll never believe what happened. I bought 100, and he threw in an extra one, 101. What a nice grocer. You know, we should always go there. We shouldn't go anymore to ABC supermarket. We should go to Yankel the grocer, because he's a nice guy. That's what we call vitor. Now, what happens if one of the customers is one of these disagreeable types, and the chenveni and the balabuz, they don't get along one with the other? In fact, one was even madar hano from the other one. You know, I don't want to have hano from you. Get out of here. Blah, blah, blah. Question is, what happens if he pays his pruta for the 100 nuts? So then, it's not that they're getting hano one from the other. It's it's you know, standard business. That the Gemara holds is not a problem. However, if the Chenveni throws in one extra one, no, says Reb Elazar, Viter Aser B'Mudr Hana. The Rabbanim disagree, because the Rabbanim say this is standard, you know. All the other customers, he always throws in one, so it shows that when you're buying 100, it's as if you're buying 101. That freebie is really already included in the price, so to speak. However, Reb Elazar said, no, Viter Aser B'Mudr Hana. So therefore, getting back to the shut from Shenod Rano, normally a person would be mevater and says, okay, I'm not on best of terms with my shochin. It's not the first time in history we find that neighbors do not have neighborly love. So Reuven and Shimon, unfortunately, or maybe it's Shprinza and Genengel that are fighting in the chotzer. However, normally, getting into the chotzer, how can I stop you from going into your apartment or going into your house? You have the same right as I do. So normally everybody would say, that's fine. That mishnah that should from Shenod Rano, also we call it lechotzer. That's according to Reb Elazar, that even Vitor, that most people wave and say, that's Gornish, is also Aser ben Mudr Hana. And we have, okay, so basically we have now entered the kasha that we started off with, what's the difference between the Reish and the Seifa, and we had a number of Tirutzim. But since we spoke about that, now the Gemara goes off a little bit on a tangent, including a little bit, if you will, of Agadata type Gemara. So the Gemara first says, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbano, Ba'kol Shutvim Akvin Ze Ezeh Chutzman Hakvisa." That if you have a bunch of Shutvim again, a whole bunch of people that live around a common courtyard, they have the right to go and stop someone else. In other words, if these are people that are not Makbid, and you're a Mamad, your Behema, and you're a stove, and your mill, that's fine, no problem. Then you do not develop a Chazaka. But a shutuv does have the legal right to be ma'akim and say, no, I don't want you to park your behemoth here. I don't park my behemoth. I don't want you to park your behemoth. Go to the local behemoth garage and go and rent out a space. I don't want you. So the shutuv can be ma'akim zeh, chutz ma'akvisa, but not by kvisa. Kvisa means that if one of the ladies in the chotzer wants to do her laundry in the common courtyard, she is permitted to do so. Why is that? Now, to us, all of this sounds very strange because everybody today has washing machines and things of that nature. But years ago, before the advent of washing machines, and you didn't have flowing water from in your bathtub and in your sinks, so where did you get water from? Well, the most convenient water was the neighborhood river, the river that was closest to your town. Then you would go out, traipse out to the river, and then do the laundry in the river, because there was no shortage of water in the river. This was before environmental issues with sewage and all the rest, so the water was clear and gishmak, and you washed in the river. One problem is that when the women are washing the clothes in the river, they would have to go and hook up their skirts or the dresses a little bit to put their feet into the river, otherwise then, of course, their clothes would get all wet. By hooking those off, then part of the bottom of their feet were exposed, and that was already considered to be a lack of fundamental tzniyus. And that being the case, says the Gemara, what did most of the women do, the Jewish, the Frumma women do? They did it in the privacy of their own courtyard. Okay, yes, there are the other shechinim in the courtyard, that's true, but that is now reducing the problem from hundreds or thousands of people that pass by the river or are floating or swimming in the river or going in a boat on the river. We're no longer dealing with the Rishus HaRabim. Now we're doing more like a Carmelith, just a small number of people. And presumably the women would coordinate that they did their kvisa all at the same time when the men were all in shul or were all at work, etc., etc. So therefore, none of the shutvim, the chotzer, can stop any of the ladies from doing kvisa, because that's a necessity. There's no other place to do it. Now the Gemara continues on. It says in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, V'oitzem einov meir oiz bera, who is that person? So the Pasuk begins, Holech tzedokos v'doivim meisharim, talking about Ayir Ariel, Ayir Atzadik, Holech tzedokos, he's doivim meisharim, moyes v'bostza. In other words, the Pasuk is describing what does an Erlich Yid look like, and it ends off the Oitzim Ein of a person who knows when to shut his eyes from seeing evil. So what does that mean? So Dr. Yomara, Oitzim Eina Meres Bara, Omer Pchi Bar Abba Zeh, She'ein Mestakel Benoshim Mishoah, She'ein Dois Al HaKvisa. Rishbam says that since we just said now that the Jewish ladies would all do the Kvisa at home in their common courtyard, Nu Oibazoi, which Noshim are standing there in the river, says Rishbam, we're talking about non-Jewish women that don't have these the same precautions and concerns, and they are unfortunately not as sinistic as one would hope, and therefore they're standing on the kvisa. So if a Jewish man walks by the river at the time that they're doing laundry, oh, and he closes his eyes, he's an oitzim ein of meroy spera and erlechid, a very fine guy. Pray to Mahechidami, explain yourself. If there are other ways of walking through town without walking next to the river, next to the lake, then walk on a different street. Why are you walking on Riverside Drive next to the river, seeing the women doing the kvisa? Walk on West End Avenue. Walk on other places. What's happened? Then he's a Rashi. He shouldn't be walking on those streets. If there's no other way to get around town, you have to walk that way. Then honestly, what is he supposed to do? So why are you requiring him to be an oitzimainov? The truth of the matter is, this is the only way to go from one end of the town to the other, to go next to the river on Riverside. Nevertheless, a person soll sich unstrengen, person should go and strengthen himself by trying to avoid any eye contact whatsoever. So whilst he's walking down, even though he has no choice, he has to walk next to the lake, next to the river, he should always try to divert his head or his eyes in the other direction, not to look. Since we mentioned going back to Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbanah, right? How did we get into this? About 6-7 lines ago, Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbanah, Bakol Shutvim Akvin Zezeh. Bakol Shutvim Akvin Zezeh. So since we mentioned Rabbi Yochanan Rabbanah, so we mention again, Boi Menei Rabbi Yochanan Rabbanah, Cholik Shotein Rechomim Ketzad. The way Talmid Chom dressed was different than the Hamoin Am, because they had a higher degree of tznius in everything that they did, as we'll see. Ketzad, Kosh Ein Besari Nira Mitachtov. A person, at that time, they didn't wear pants like we do today. The cholik was like a long tunic or a long toga, and they made sure that it went all the way down to the ground, so that even in those communities where people walked barefoot, without shoes and socks, you could never see their feet, their toes, because of the fact that it was covered by the cholik that went all the way to the ground. Now that was the cholik, the tunic. What is the talis? Now, we don't mean the talis that you wear for davening, but we really mean an outer cloak, a coat, so to speak, which covers what's underneath. Typically, the talis was a drop shorter than the choluk. The choluk went all the way down to the ground, while the talis went, let's say, down to the ankles. So it was a little bit shorter. So if it's less than a tefach shorter than the original choluk, that's the beggar of the Talmud Chacham. And Rishbam says, and kolshkein, if the talis goes all the way to the ground, his coat goes all the way, in other words, it covers over the entire choluk, you know, tovei ola bracha nuchbesa. But you're not required that the outer coat go all the way to the ground, as long as it's only 1 or 2 or 3 inches shorter than the tunic that's underneath, and that's also fine. This is ochkut. Then shulchan sotam nechom ketzad. What is the shulchan, the table where a talmid chacham eats? What does that look like? Shnei shlishe gdil ushlish galoi. 2/3 of the table would be covered by a tablecloth, and that's where the talmid chacham and the guests would be eating, and 1/3 of the table would be exposed. Why would 1/3 of the table be exposed? Because on that third part, the olav, on that third, you'd have the koros v'yerek. What's so important about the koros v'yerek? So Rishbam explains the koros v'yerek means foods that, for instance, if you're talking about the kara, you might have, if it's soup, or if it happens to be whatever, something might spill over onto the table. So if you have tablecloth over there, that means by definition, tablecloth is going to get dirty. And if it's going to get dirty, that's going to be ma'us for the Talmud Chacham and for all the guests. So rather have it on the table part where there is no tablecloth. So if something spills, no problem, you quickly clean it up. And that won't cause any problem for the tablecloth. It won't be ma'us. The tabatoi mi bachutz. Typically, these tables were not the long, extensive tables that we have today. Typically, you're talking about small, little tables. You remember at the end of Pesachim when we were talking about the mitzvah of Heseber. So it's also talking about that in the good old days, everybody had their own little tishula in front of them, and then they would fold it up at the end of the meal. And that's why the Gemara talks about you make Kiddush with a table in front of you, they brought the table in, they brought the table out, before, after. You're talking about these small little tishulach where everybody had a small little table in front of it. So where did you store them? You store them by having, they had a tabas, they had a ring at the end of the table. You'd fold the table up, it was like a folding table, and then you'd hang it from a hook somewhere against the wall. This way you had more living space after you hung up all of these tables. I remember when I was with my wife, over 30 years ago, we were visiting Russia. At that time, it was before Gorbachev. It was at that time, Yuri Andropov was the president of the Communist Party, and therefore he was the effective ruler, or maybe president of the KGB, or both, whatever, it doesn't make a difference. Anyway, so we were there on a clandestine mission on behalf of the Vaad Latzolos Nidchei Yisrael, which was a branch of the Aguda at the time. And my wife and I gave shiurim. We tried to go and be makariv the Bali Tshuva in Moscow. So remember, we went into a typical apartment of a Jew in Moscow, where he and his wife and three children lived, and it was all just what we would call today a studio apartment, one large room, a little bit larger perhaps than a studio on the west side, but it was just one large room. That one large room was the kitchen and the dining room and the living room and etc. etc. Everything. Now, how could you go and have both beds and dining room and all that under one in one room? So the beds were like Murphy beds, where you can fold them up, and the table as well. Either you could fold it up and hang it from the side, or you just pushed it to the side when people went to sleep at night, and you pulled out your Murphy beds, and the people went to sleep. So the point is, all of these tables, you were able to fold up, and you hang it from a hook, and that's why each one of them had a loop at the end of the table, which the Gemara calls a tabas. Okay, so now where is that tabas going to be located? Is it going to be located to the outside or the inside of the person who's eating? So the Talmud Chacham, you could have the ring right next to him. He has to be careful, of course, not to bang into it every time he leans over the table to eat. Or you could have the ring sticking out on the other side. So how was that ring? Says the Gemara, v'tabatim mechutz. So it shouldn't interfere with the one who's eating. Put it on the outer rim of the table. But there's another price. Know that the ring should be to the inside. It's talking about when the person who's eating is he or she holding on to a tinnik at the same time, a baby or a young kid. If there's a young baby there, then put the ring to the outside. Because I don't have to tell you, if you have young kids, they're going to play with anything and everything that they can find. So they're going to see this ring here. Oh! Instead of eating the food that their tati, mommy want them to eat, they're going to go and pull on the ring and push on it, and the whole table will collapse very shortly. So then, have the ring on the outside. If there's no tinnik, have the ring on the inside. No, there's no yinuk around. Is there a waiter or waitress that are walking from table to table carrying the foods and all that? If you're going to have a ring sticking out, by accident, the waiter who's walking by might stumble over it, and it might tug on his garment, and guess what? Then all the food is going to fall on the floor and all the rest. So if there's a shamus, then keep the ring to the inside. If there's no shamus, then you can keep the ring to the outside. Both of them, there's a shamus. Is the meal a day meal, like a Shabbos day after Musaf, you go home and you make Kiddush and you have a meal? So b'yamama, you see the ring. You know, the Shabbos, the waiter, sees the ring sticking out. Ha-balayla, however, if it's a Friday night Sudeb, you're eating at candlelight, so to speak. You know, candlelight on Shabbos would be problematic, because Shemayata. Okay, so it's during the week, and you have it at candlelight, and you don't see so well. So now you have your Shamus, he'll bump into the ring. So then put the ring to yourself and not to the outside. V'shel ha'ma'aretz, so that's a Talmud Chacham. What about an Ama'aretz? Doime, he doesn't have a tablecloth and two-thirds of the table with one-third exposed, but rather it's a big, big mishmash, if you will. You have, it's Doime, says the Gemara, Limedura, Limedura means like a fire, Ukederes makivos oisa. If you made a fire, you want to make sure that it doesn't spread, so around the fire you go and put a bunch of metal kederes, a metal pots, etc., so that the fire won't spread, so that you have like a frame around it. So here too, says the Rishbam, if you look at the top, Rishbam, Limedura shemukefes kederes, v'esh be'emtza, afkan ha'mapa v'halechem be'emtza, v'akorei soviv. The way they set up the table, it sounds kind of strange. The mapa, the tablecloth, is smack in the middle. And there you put the bread. And then a room, the whole table is full of ka'orais, which may be dripping, and you may have gravy on the table, you have soup spilling on the table, and all the rest. And that's not a very nice way to eat. So that's the Amaratzim, who are kind of rough and primitive. They're not makbid on these things. Continuing on, Mitzvah Tomei Dechom Ketzad Koshein Tachter Al Sandalim Bimoyis Hachama Umin Olim Bimoyis Hagsham. The only thing they park underneath their beds are those things like shoes that they're not going to use for the next 6 months. So Rishbam says that the minig was to wear Min Olim Bimoyis Hachama. Min Olim are very thin leather, so that's convenient. Bimoyis Hachama Sandalim, even though we think of sandals as being the light leather type, but in our Gemara, it's really the other way around. The sandalim are the thick leather. Those you use, you might say, shamim, to give you protection, says Rishbam Bishvil HaTit, so that you don't walk in the mud, so that it's thick. So therefore, typically you wouldn't use the thick sandalim throughout the summer months, and those you would park under the bed, sandalim b'yimoysachama. While the min'olim, which you would use, b'yimoysachama, what are you going to do with them throughout the winter months? You park them under your bed, b'yimoysach sham. Ah, so those are the only things. You looked under the Talmud Chacham's bed, it was a mechaya, you only found over there the shoes or the sandals that are being parked there for the next 6 months until the weather changes. V'shal ha'ma'aretz, however, under the Amaretz's bed, doim l'oitzer balus, sometimes it's a gears of balum, which means that there was a full treasury of things over there. Rishbam explains that oitzer balus is almost like the Gemara says elsewhere, an isa balusa, which means, just like when you make an isa, you make a dough, you might add into it all different types of minim. Besides the flour, you might add in some sugar and some salt and some eggs and other things into the dough to make it into a cake or whatever. So here too, in modern day parlance, we would call it a chulent. That his, underneath his bed, looks like a chulent of all different types of things, including, says Rishbam, oichlin, where Chazal say you preferably should not have oichlin under a bed. And if you do have oichlin under a bed, it says in Chazal, in Psachim, ruach ro'o shoyra lein. Many people are makbid on that, that if they find any food items under a bed, that they will not eat from it because of that ruach ro'o. But the Amoritz doesn't know about these things, so therefore, you open up the bottom of the bed, it looks like a refrigerator or like a treasury, a storehouse of all types of goodies. We'll stop over here by side, and may Hashem to be continued tomorrow. Thank you all for listening. Have a wonderful day, and mazel tov again.